Morning, church.
Today's scripture reading will be from Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of riches, both of wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Oh, who has ever first given to him and has to be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Matthew, for that reading, and thank you, Russell, for the songs on such short notice. I appreciate those. You know, we can't help but look around us and we see a world that seems to be full of inconsistencies, of contradictions, and an ever-changing value system. What was appropriate yesterday is not appropriate today. What the world sees as important yesterday is not necessarily what they see as important today. So where do we go to find things that are real? Politics? Do the politicians, when they stand up before us and promise certain things, can we count on those promises? Are we seeing in that person a real, honest, genuine person, good to his word? I think we know the answer to that. But it's not just in politics, it's throughout our society, and it's throughout our world. So where do we turn to something that is real, something that we can confidently count on day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year? And to us, as God's people, we know the answer to that. We know that our God is real. We know that our God is real to his promises, is real to his mercy, he's real to his grace, he's real to his compassion, he's real in his love to each and every one of us. If you were to be asked by someone to explain to them who God is, what would you say? What would you say? Who is God to you? How would you describe God? You know, the Bible does a great job in doing that. And I want for us to take a few minutes this morning in this world of ours to think about who God is. And because of who he is, what makes him real? So we're going to be looking at several passages because I want the Bible to describe him to us. I don't want me to describe him to you. I don't want you to think amongst yourselves who he is. Let's look to God's word. And let's see who God says he is. There are several characteristics of God that we can find in his word, but we don't have time to go through all those. I know you want to get out to lunch at some point in time, so we're only going to go through five of them, but several scriptures for each one. And the first thing that we see is that our God is eternal. You know, the word eternal is something that our minds have a problem wrapping ourselves around. Eternal means that God always has been and he always will be. He will have no end. There is no end to God. He was before time, and he will be after time. Because he always was, he always is, he always will be. And you know, sometimes we forget about the fact that time has a limit. Is that for me? Time has a limit. Before God said, "Let there be light," there was no time. Before God said, "Let there be light," there was no such thing as time. But now, after those four words, "Let there be light," we seem to adjust everything in our life to time. In fact, we just did. You know that hour that you had yesterday? It's gone. You're not going to get it back until probably sometime in November. But everything that we do is based around time. We go to work. We know what time we go to work. We know what time we get off. We know what time lunch is. We know all those things because it's based on time. But you see, God is not restricted to time because He's eternal, He's everlasting, and He's forever. We may be limited by time. If you heard people say, "I just don't have the time to help you out today," you're going to move, "I'm sorry, I don't have time to help you move." Well, God never says, "I don't have time for you," because God is not limited by time. There are a lot of verses that talk about that, but let's just look at a few this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 33. "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms." Think about that. Psalms 90, beginning in verse 1. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Isaiah chapter 40. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning," it's time, "and from ancient times, things that are not yet come." Isaiah chapter 46. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." What a passage that is in describing our God. There are many more verses that we could go to that explains the same characteristic of God, the fact that He's eternal. But the question then becomes, what does that have to do with us? How does the eternal God impact me? Well, number one, time is not an issue with God. He's always there. And we know people where time is everything to them. Time means everything to them. They stick to a very specific schedule because time is their life. "I don't have time for this. I only have time for that." But with God, there is no limit to time. He has time for you. He will always have time for you. And I need to remember that time is different to God than it is to me. You ever think about that? Time is different to God than it is for me. All right, God, I prayed about this last week. I really need you to answer my prayer. Where are you? Right? We want God's time to be our time. We want God to answer in our time. We want the solution to our problem in our time. But God is not limited to time because He sees the overall picture. He sees that if He gives you what you're asking for right now, may not be what's best for you. And so He waits. And so we have to faithfully wait because His timing is perfect and not ours. And because God is not restricted to time, we can trust that the account of creation is accurate because He alone was there. What is it to man to try to tell us how the heavens and earth were created? He wasn't there. How does he know? Only one knows, and that is God, because He alone was there. He created the heavens and the earth. Time is not an issue with God. the next thing that we think about when we think about God is the fact that He's unchangeable. Boy, we can be thankful for that. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. When the Bible talks about His goodness and His mercy and His compassion and His love, it doesn't tell us later that He has more love and more mercy and more compassion, because what He has already never changes. It is the ultimate. It is the complete love and mercy and kindness and good. Do you know people who change? Do you know people who change their minds? All right, I'm going to do something with you this week, and then when you're ready to count on them to do that thing, they change their mind. Something else has come up. God doesn't change. He is unchangeable in both His nature and His attributes, because that's His very nature. He is perfect in every way. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change because He cannot change, because He's perfect, because He's God. Let's see what the Bible has to say about that. Numbers chapter 23. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? God always keeps His word. Malachi chapter 3, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Hebrews chapter 6. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. That hope that we have in God never changes. That hope that we have in Christ never changes. That reward that He has promised us because of the life that we lived in Him does not change. Because God doesn't change. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That phrase, shadow of turning, is found in the song that we sing. Great is Thy, what? Faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning in Thee. What impact does that have on me? You see, inconsistency is not an issue with God. We can count on Him because He doesn't change. Everything that He's told us is going to happen is going to happen. He is faithful to both His word and His promises. He never lies. He never changes His mind. He's never fickle in His decisions. And because of that, we can count on Him and His word. And we can trust Him and His word implicitly. It means I know what to expect, and I can trust everything He says. And boy, what a difference it makes in our world, doesn't it? That we have someone who loves us that much, that we can count on everything that He's told us to be true. It's not going to change. We had the service for Reggie last Monday. And it was a celebration. Why was it a celebration? Because of a death? Because of what that death represented. It represented life. And the way that we know that is because it's been promised us by a God that doesn't change. A God that created us for that very purpose. Not to live here, but to live there with Him. That's the whole point of all of this. Reggie's reaped his reward. And we're confident in that because that reward was given and promised by a God who does not change. God is unchangeable. God is omnipotent. What does that mean? That's kind of an odd statement. We don't use that phrase very often. But it simply means that God is all-powerful. He is unlimited in His power. He's able to do anything and all things that are consistent with His nature and His purpose. Consistent with His nature and His purpose. God is called Almighty over 50 times in the Bible, and His power is limitless and it's never depleted. But think about this. You get up in the morning and you've got a lot of energy and you feel powerful. What happens about noon? What happens after lunch? Is it nap time yet? Right? What happens at the end of the day, 5 o'clock, when you finally get home and sit down and you're depleted? It's gone. It's disappeared. It's dissipated. That never happens with God, because His power is limitless and it's never depleted. It never goes away. And how does the Bible explain that? Revelation chapter 19. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God is omnipotent, reigns. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. Who is mighty like you, O Lord? Psalms 89. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You ever think about that? Is there anything that you could possibly ask of God that's too hard for Him? That He's thinking to Himself, Cheryl, how could you possibly ask me that? I can't do that. Conversely, is there anything too little to ask the Lord? Why is Jimmy bothering me with that? See, nothing is too little for Him. Nothing is too big for Him. Nothing is too hard for Him. He wants to hear from His people. He wants to answer our prayers. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Ah, Lord God, behold, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for You. It's from Jeremiah chapter 32. Jesus said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Big things and little things. Luke chapter 1, for with God nothing will be impossible. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I can think of a lot of things that God can do for me. But this passage tells us He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Just imagine that. According to the power, His power that works in us. That's a lot. But God's all powerful. So how does that impact me? What does that mean to us? Well, number one, ability is not an issue with God. There's nothing He can't do. Now think about this. He can take your problems and your problems and your problems and your problems and my problems, and He can handle them all at once, all at the same time. Nothing is too big for Him. He is more powerful than the devil. And we don't remember that sometimes. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Think about that. Next time you're faced with a temptation or something in your life that just seems so overwhelming, remember that. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I can ask God anything. None of my problems are too big or small for Him. God is also omniscient. What does that mean? He's all wise and all knowing. There are no mysteries or unsolved puzzles to God. When Martin gets up here, and Martin starts talking about the internet, and Martin starts talking about all those things that Martin knows, and we sit here like a deer in the headlights. What in the world is Martin talking about? We have no idea what he's talking about. God knows. God's not going to say, Martin, boy, I'm glad you told me. I didn't know that. He not only knows that, he knows a year from now that. There isn't anything he doesn't know. There are no mysteries that God could possibly be faced with because he is omniscient. There is no limit to the knowledge of God, past, present, or future. There isn't. How does the Bible describe the omniscience of our God? Romans chapter 11, beginning verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of God? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Romans chapter 13, chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 40. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Who taught God? Nobody taught God, because God is God, and he was here from the beginning. He had no counselor, no instructor. There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to his eyes, to whom we must give account. Hebrews chapter 4. There's nothing that can be hidden from him. No creature, nothing. Everything is always in his sight. Think about this. He knows the stars. He calls them by name. Psalms 147. When a bird falls to the ground, God knows. He knows all men and their works, the future of men and their events, the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows what's on your heart all the time. Think about this. He knows the things that come into your mind. You know those little fleeting things that come into your mind? Maybe anger. Maybe it's that driver ahead of you. Maybe it's something that causes you to be angry. And it's a fleeting thought, but God knows it. He knows the things that come into our mind. He knows every secret thing, whether good or evil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20 tells us that God knows all things. But most importantly, it's not that just he knows all things, but he knows all things about you. And he knows all things about me. Look at Psalms chapter 139, beginning in verse 1 through 6. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You ever known anyone that you didn't understand? I just don't get them. They may be talking to me, but I have no idea what they're saying. I don't know what they mean by what they said. God knows exactly what we meant. He understands our thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. There's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. God is all knowing. But how does that impact me? Knowing how is not an issue with God. God never has to Google anything. He knows it all. Know-how is not an issue with Him. He knows my needs even before I ask Him. He knows what you need even before you ask Him. So why bother to ask Him? Because our asking God shows our faith in Him. He knows my strengths. He knows my weaknesses. He knows when the devil tempts me, how strong that temptation is, and how to deliver me from it. He knows what I'm going through, and He will never forget me. And He knows what you're going through, and He will never forget you. God is omniscient. But lastly, we see that God is omnipresent. He exists everywhere at all points of time and space at the same time, watching all His creation. He's not just going along with us in time. He's not just with us now. He's with us always. He was with us before. He's with us now. He knows it all. God knew that the Eagles were going to beat the Patriots before it ever happened. He did. He knows all things. Before they happen, He knows. He's omnipresent. He exists everywhere at all points in time and space at the same time, watching all His creation. There is no place or moment in time where God is not present. His fullness is everywhere all the time. How does the Bible describe it? 2 Chronicles chapter 16. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. He sees all things, both good and bad. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. This passage we read before in Hebrews chapter 4. There's no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we, you and me, must give account. Think about this. Psalms 139. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Or where can I flee from Your presence? Ask Jonah that question. If I ascend to heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me and Your right hand shall hold me. What a beautiful passage that is, to think that everywhere we are, God is there with us. We're in the presence of God all the time because He is omnipresent. And so what does that mean to us? He's never too busy for us. God is never too busy for you. He sees everything we do. Everything we do, God sees. And in a sense, that's a deterrent to sin. Because we know no matter what we do, God's going to be there and see. Just like Joseph and Potiphar's wife, when she tried to seduce him, who's going to know? And Joseph said, how can I do this thing against God? How can I sin against God? He'll know, because He sees everything I do. It's a deterrent to sin, but it's also a motivation for us to do right. Because God's there with us. He sees what we do. He is with me in times of sorrow, in times of danger, in times of temptation. He's there all the time. And we're comforted to know that He's always with us, and He will never forsake us. He will never turn His back on His people. And think about it. Aren't you glad that we don't serve some God that we only read about in a textbook. We serve some wooden idol that claims to be a God. We serve a God who's real. And we can see Him. We can see Him. We can see Him in our world. We can see Him in the beach. We can see Him in the forest. We can see Him. We can see Him as a flower blooms. But more importantly, we can see Him in our life. We can see Him as He answers our prayers. We can see Him as He lovingly, compassionately carries us from a time of despair to a time of peace. We can see Him because He is real. He's eternal. He's unchangeable. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. Our God is real. We need to remember that as we go through our life and are faced with things that seem unreal, that we have a real God to help us through them. So if you're ever asked by someone to explain who God is, this is a good place to start. And it's not from me or it's not from you, but this is the way that God describes Himself in His holy word. If you're here this morning and we can help you in your relationship with Him, we offer this time as an invitation for you to come forward and allow us to put our arms around you and help you with prayer, or if you've not yet become a child of God, to be able to do that as well. You know, God created us as a loving family to love each other, to encourage each other, to empower each other through His love and through His word to be the kind of people He wants us to be. And if we can help you do that, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.